post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
And hello, guys, and welcome to this week's Near Post Radio / Podcast Show. I'm Aaron Walker, and we're talking football right across the Australian Community Broadcasting Radio Network. And with me is the two Nicks. Nick Cumston, how are you?
Very well, Aaron. Not as wet as you.
No, very wet. Raining outside. No umbrella. And Nick Amies.
Oh, I'm not
same
too
question.
Bad. Yeah.
Not too bad.
Yeah, brought an umbrella. So.
Donning
okay.
donning the Mariners shirt. I've noticed it's taken you a while this season to pull it out.
Well, I figured I just let it mellow for the first few weeks, and then once the fortunes turn up, out it comes, ready to go.
There you go. It's only a matter of time. And coming up after over the next half hour, we've got all the news: the A League, the W League, Joeys, and Socceroos. If you've got any inquiries for us, you can simply test our football knowledge on flanagan.amon@gmail.com. Alternatively, you can catch us at the podcast on www.nearpost.blogspot.com or at Halftime Heroes as well. And as always, guys, we have a show dedication. Who wrote this? It's blank. I'm going to have to make one up off the spot, and I'm going to give it to Ben Williams. Ben Williams, the center of attention this week, guys.
He would have been my choice as well, I think. Look, he's had a turbulent couple of days.
He has.
Do you think he's on Twitter?
I'm not sure if he's on Twitter, but we'll get into all that later. But coming up, as well as the show dedication, we always have a quiz, and this is a very good question. Which of the all the controversy this week, we've heard a lot about the A-League Independent Match Review Panel. Now, who exactly is the A-League Independent Match Tribunal? Guys, I got absolutely no idea. I don't mind throwing that
I'll
out
admit,
there.
I have absolutely no idea either. If it wasn't at the bottom of the running sheet, I wouldn't know. I'm going to say that it's no ex-players, though, so they have no idea what context in the game it is.
Well, I think
Alan Davidson's got some pretty good...
Alan Davidson was an excellent player for Australia, and his young son as well, Jason Davidson, is doing well over in Portugal.
Yep, and I think, actually, they don't have the same guys all the time on the panel. They've got a rotating...
Okay, it's a rotating roster.
...cast of characters.
When do I get a go?
Waiting for the call. I'm still waiting to hear back from the Wellington Phoenix from the YouTube clip of Ronaldo that I sent with my name on it.
Okay, well, we'll get into the news, guys. It's been a big week, especially in the A-League, and we'll start with the Melbourne Victory, who have reacted furiously after defender Matthew Foschini was given a red card that they thought was rather frivolous. Guys, who saw the incident, and what do we think?
I did. Look, it's pretty harsh. He's gone in. Look, the studs were a bit up, but it seemed to me like he was going for the ball, and my instinct when he did it was that it was a yellow rather than a red, and so to get sent off and then get an extra match
that's
pretty harsh.
Look, I don't know what they're thinking there. I think it was probably just one match. Swinging either way through a red / a yellow, but if he does get sent off, obviously one match ban. I don't think two was really necessary.
Okay, and
I thought Kovic's send-off was more justifiable.
Nicky Ward, a little while ago, got a red card overturned in tribunal. I understand Victory looking at that option. What do you guys think there? Any possibilities?
I think they might be licking their wounds right now. The match review panel slapped them back down, so...
I guess maybe, as you say, rotating roster, maybe they just had a different perspective than the previous review panel did. Obviously, it's not a great thing for them. Their defensive stocks aren't particularly well off at the moment, so...
So my understanding is that to have a red card overturned, it needs to be, quote-unquote, an obvious refereeing mistake. What's an obvious refereeing mistake? Because when that comes to... What comes to mind for me is that a case of maybe mistaken identity, the wrong player gets a second yellow card, maybe a keeper gets sent off like Kovic and they have a look and the striker's dived. Those are mistakes to me. But when it's a subjective tackle like this, is there any grounds whatsoever to overturn a referee's decision?
I think they could have, but, yeah, probably not in this case. It was line ball, and so they're always going to back the ref's judgment. But it was a shame. It did look it made for a really exciting game. I think it was the most exciting game of the season so far. But it was the referee was the story, which is a shame when you've got two of the best teams in the A-League facing off.
And a big hello goes out to Adelaide United's Anthony Golek, who has become the centre of attention after a very colourful tweet on Twitter this week. Guys, social media and football is not a good combination always. What do we think?
You can just imagine the media manager at Adelaide going, what the hell?
Banging his head into the desk a little bit.
This guy hasn't even played a single senior game, and he's managed, like, all the controversy has been about the... you know, homosexual slur. There was also a racial slur. Like, he got the full trifecta of offensive.
And a second wave of controversy has come after he released his apologetic statement, apologising profusely to referee Ben Williams, but didn't apologise to the homosexual community or the gypsy community.
Oh, I think Football Federation of Australia have issued a please explain notice, so we might not have heard the last of this one.
Anyway, just for all those aspiring footballers out there, if you ever make it pro, let it be known what you write on Twitter is published information.
It's probably better to deactivate your account or never get one in the first place.
Or just use text message. He says he was trying to send a message to his brother. I think the risk of, you know, thousands of people reading it would be much less with a text message.
Gold Coast United coach Miron Blyberg questioned the integrity of referee Peter Green. All these referees are getting a bit of a hammering this week after United's controversial 3-2 loss to penalty to Sydney FC. Guys, the penalty came in injury time, last minute of the game. What do we think?
It was pretty soft.
Well, it's just each referee has their own interpretation of what's a penalty, what isn't. So,
now, the replay I saw during the game showed both two players jumping up for the ball, ball's maybe near a hand, maybe striking somewhere near the arm. But I saw another referee later on Fox Sports' website where Beecham gets his shirt grabbed and then a bit of a trip, and it was a completely different replay, and everyone saw that.
Mm.
So that was the penalty was not for handball, it was not for what was shown on the Fox Sports TVs during the match game.
I only saw the during the match.
Yeah, so jump on Fox Sports website, there's a pretty good view of that.
The FFA have put out a please explain to Miron Blyberg as well for his comments.
It was a very entertaining game though. I did not see them coming back. To win that
one. Great game. It was a fantastic round of football, I thought. Really enjoyed it.
And a controversy aside, Saturday night's draw between Melbourne Victory and Brisbane Roar attracted a record TV audience for broadcasters Foxtel. That's really good. Now, guys, I want to talk briefly about attendances. Now, we had a look at attendances, and attendances are up. They're up, 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 up. But if you take Melbourne Victory out of the equation...
Yes, I saw statistics on the
It was
the World Game or something. The average crowd without Melbourne Victory is about 8,000 or 9,000, I think it is.
And is that good enough?
It's better
for some clubs. It's great, Gold Coast.
It's
especially
better than it was last.
But
year one of the A League, Brisbane averaged around 25,000. They're now averaging around 30,000. They're not going to get better football than this. Just where are the Brisbane supporters?
Yeah, Brisbane's a funny one. It's just hard to Brisbane's not a particularly big-name team, but the football's incredible. Like, you can understand Ange Postecoglou getting frustrated, going, what more do we need to do?
And that's exactly the
There's been suggestions that they haven't been promoting the games well enough. I mean, obviously, you're playing a beautiful football, but if you're not getting the word out there that there's a game this Saturday at this time, you're not going to have that many people turn up.
Okay, and Newcastle Jets confirmed that Michael Bridges has returned to the team sheet for the rest of the season. And so they're getting their gang back together, aren't they? Van Bergman's back, Jeff is back, Bridges is back. Is this a good move, guys?
All the washed-up English strikers.
It's a bit confusing because he retired due to the recurring knee problem, and he's come back. Is that knee going to hold out? I'm not too sure, but he's a good player, so maybe he could add a little bit of an X factor to their...
They've got an informed Brocky, an excellent Ryan Griffiths. They've also got Francis Jeffers back. Where's he going to fit in?
I'm going to say last 20 minutes of a game.
Okay. Melbourne Heart is set to try and solve its striking woes from within rather than in the transfer market by rushing back teenage forward Ellie Babbage for next Saturday's home game. Guys, is this just an admission that they're not going to spend money to solve their problems?
I think they've already spent the money. You know, you've got the most expensive coach in the A-League, a couple of high-profile recruits like Fred and
Williams.
David Williams, and the Brazilian Maicon,
yeah. Right?
And they're not really getting it done.
You see, Ellie Babbage is the key to getting their striking woes on track?
I like Ellie Babbage, but I think the job's a bit big for a 19-year-old striker to solve.
And emerging Aston Villa midfielder Chris Hurd has been ruled out of the Socceroos World Cup clashes against Oman and Thailand after sustaining an ankle injury in the final moments of English Premier League match on the weekend. Guys, Chris Hurd starting central midfield for Aston Villa. Surely there's room for the Socceroos with this guy.
Yeah, apparently he was likely to make his debut with the Socceroos this weekend, but injuries prevented that, and I completely support them taking a conservative approach. He's just got himself in the side. And I'd like to have a special shout out to whoever the fans are who are consistently rating Chris Hurd as being the best, if not the second best, player on the Aston Villa team on the Guardian website on the player ratings. He's got a very loyal following.
Holger Osick seems fairly stable, Nick Jr., in his central mids, or especially the defensive central mids. We've got Carl Valeri, we've got Mile Jednak, these guys that have been around a long time. Is it jumping the gun a bit to say that someone, as soon as they start playing for Aston Villa, is going to jump straight ahead of those guys in the pecking order?
Well, I guess that's why he wasn't picked in the last squad, because obviously it was too soon and the squad was settled, but obviously Osick's had a better look at him now, and he felt that he was up to the level of coming in. I'm not sure if he's going to displace Valeri or Jednak for the next lot of qualifiers, but I think he probably was going to get some substitute appearance. But yeah, he seems to be doing well at Aston Villa, so if he keeps going, why not put him in the team?
Well, if we wrap up, we'll talk about it more later, if we wrap up qualification this weekend, why not
experiment with some guys,
yeah.
Okay, and Brett Holman has opened the scoring for AZ Alkmaar in Socceroos news over the weekend. And also what I want to talk about briefly is Matt McKay got his first start in the Scottish League.
Mm.
Played pretty well, I thought. Played 70-odd minutes, set up the first goal. Rangers won 3-1, but some pretty discouraging comments from the coach after the game, which I thought were quite interesting.
Yeah, look, it just plays into all of Eamon's prejudices about Rangers, I have to say. Yeah.
Oh,
did you see the game?
No, I did not. I don't get Scottish Premier League on my internet, thankfully. But look, it took him this long to get a start, so it is a bit worrying. But hopefully, now that he's in the team, he's going to change some minds in the coaching staff and get some more performances out of it. So let's hope so.
And locally, the news that we want to expand on a bit is that young Socceroos coach Jan Vertonghen has quit his post, or said that he doesn't want to renew his contract at the end of it, or he's not going to reapply. And as a result of some feedback he's given, they're now going to split his role into three, under-17s, under-20s, and AIS, all done separately, where previously it was one job. Guys, is this the right way forward, and what's the background here?
I think so. I just wonder, why couldn't they have the money to do this before?
Would you say he was a success, Jan Vertonghen?
No.
I think he did a good job of a tough job, but maybe the job, if they've admitted that the job was far too big for one person, maybe he never had a chance to properly succeed.
It is quite possible. I think that with that sort of combining of roles in the way it has happened, it's completely unique to most other national teams that are above us. I'm not sure about the ones below us. It's quite possible there. But I don't think he was up to the task of those three jobs, and if he doesn't want to keep going, obviously he doesn't think that he can keep doing it in the way he has been doing.
It's attracted a lot of controversy that some people, let's say, we'll call them Craig Foster, have been pretty outspoken.
He actually had a ping at Craig Foster on the way out.
Yeah, yeah.
I found it quite entertaining to see someone accusing Craig Foster of having a pro-Australian coaching angle bias.
But also people defending him, saying, look, there's such a big jump up to international football from the level that most of our juniors are at, that it's a really tough job.
Okay, and let's move on to the A-League news. Now, guys, the first game was Adelaide United versus... who were Adelaide playing?
Melbourne Heart.
And that was
a crisis battle.
An interesting game. Two teams struggling down the bottom of the table. Who caught the game and what were our thoughts?
It's funny, Melbourne Heart are down the bottom, but I think their goal difference for the season is only -2, so they're not... They're not conceding a lot of goals. They're just not winning games. They're not retaining leads. Yeah, it's just not happening for them.
Adelaide United were big favourites to at least make the top six and do very well this season. Guys, what's happening there?
I think it's just there's too many players have come in and it hasn't gelled well. I think that's the only explanation I can think. Because on paper, it's a great team, but the parts have just not come together well enough.
Yeah, they haven't got the combination with Bruce Jitte and Van Dijk working yet. Vidicic has been very good, but yeah, a lot of some disappointing performances out of the rest of the newcomers.
We all know Galakovic is a fantastic goalkeeper. Suzak was part of the Brisbane Roar team that conquered all last season. John McKay, aspiring Socceroo and a part-time Socceroo. We've got Cassio out on the left. These are fantastic defenders, guys, yet they're leaking games every single match.
They are. Look, it's like a fantasy A-League team. Somehow it's less than the sum of the parts at the moment, and I've got quite a lot of time for the coaching set up there, but...
Is it too early for Adelaide United to be pressing the panic button?
I think maybe a few more weeks, because when you bring in that many players, there has to be some sort of letting in time. Like, defensive partnerships are built over seasons, not games, and when you've got two new defenders, central defenders accompanying it's a great keeper you've got behind you, but unless you actually know each other's game well enough, you're not going to stop conceding goals.
And Wellington Phoenix have lost their second straight game at home, which is quite rare for them. A very strong record at the Cake Tin over there in Wellington to the Central Coast Mariners. Guys, an interesting game there. I saw it, and Wellington Phoenix were on the back. Chris Greenacre got the equaliser, and I thought they were going to roll home with it. A lot of mental strength there shown from your boys, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, admittedly, I would have hoped that we hadn't conceded that first goal. I really want us to keep a clean sheet. Not just because Matt Ryan is in my fantasy A-League goalkeeper, but because our defence has been lauded for pretty much since season one. And now that we're conceding one every week, a lot of them have been quite soft as well. It just doesn't look especially pleasing for me, but Bernie Beeney, two goals in two games now. It's pretty good, I have to say.
Matt Simon's back in form as well.
Yes, that too. Great finish against Perth last week, so hopefully he can keep going with it.
And, guys, I watch a hell of a lot of A-League. There's not many people that watch more A-League than me. I watch pretty much every single game. But, unfortunately, on Saturday night, I had a family dinner that I couldn't be out of. And I thought, well, you can't watch every single game. Some of them have to be thrown to the wayside.
So I gave it the best one of the season.
I was following it on Twitter, and just one person after another was saying, amazing game. Oh, my God, I can't believe this game. If you aren't watching this game, get to a TV. And I just thought, that's just my luck. And I missed the game of the season. Melbourne Victory at home. Brisbane Roar, two red cards, two all. Amazing performance, guys. Who saw it? Who can fill me in?
29-6 balls inside the penalty area was the ratio for Brisbane Roar. And yet, Melbourne Victory defended better than they had all season. I reckon Tando Vilapi is the third best goalkeeper at Melbourne Victory, because Lawrence Thomas came in and did really well. It was a great game. It was a lot of fun.
Speaking of Lawrence Thomas, I must admit, at the very start of the Fantasy A-League season, I thought, I'm going to take this Lawrence Thomas because I give Vilapi maximum a month before he loses his spot and whoever his number two comes in. So I thought, I'll take him and it'll be a cheap option into the Victory's goalkeeping spot. And then they signed Kovic and I went, no! Damn it!
It was really good because they had 24,000 people there down in Melbourne and they finally got a game that they can go home and tell other people about, because the first couple of home games, bit disappointing.
Now, the A-League has a habit of doing that. If you really big a game out, it's a massive, massive game, people are looking forward to it, people are talking about it, it's an absolute sellout, you can almost guarantee it's going to be a nil or draw.
Well, except for last year's grand final. Where are all the people who were at that grand final? Surely they're
saying... would not have been one to have been one of those people who walked out in the last 5 minutes of the extra time, because you would never forgive yourself ever.
I've got a friend that was one of those. He was getting your kids back to the car.
It was great. To have a marquee matchup live up to the hype, fantastic. And, you know, TV audience was great. Twitter was blowing up.
Archie Thompson, fantastic. Two goals, scored last week as well. He's really back in form.
He is.
Kill and Everton are pulling their spots back in the Socceroos squad. Are. Why isn't Archie Thompson? He's personally pulling Melbourne Victory back out of the doldrums into the top six.
Well, it's hard to see where he fits in the current Socceroos setup. You can't Josh Kennedy has been playing out of his mind, and there's not a spot for Scott McDonald, and he'd be ahead of Archie Thompson.
I just feel that at 33, he's just too old to keep going with until 2014.
So age matters, because I watch him play, he runs around like a 25-year-old.
True.
Yeah, I feel that there's better options for his ability and his age as well.
Okay, and Newcastle Jets 2-0 winners over Perth Glory, guys. Perth, great start to the season. Are we seeing a repeat of last year?
Yeah, I expected better out of them from this game.
Yeah, well, I'm a bit confused. It was a good performance from Jeremy Brockie, though, which is good for that Newcastle, because they've needed a lead striker since Joel Griffiths has left. I mean, Michael Bridges has been good, but not putting them in as much as they probably would have wanted from a striker. So to get another victory for them was just great. Perth, yes, they've got the wobbles now, which is a bit...
Scott Neville out for 6 months, I heard, just before we came on in, with a knee injury.
So there's the youngest person in their defence gone.
He's, what, 33?
I think so.
Okay, and Sydney Grand had an absolute belter of a game. Oh, 2-0 down after half-time, come back... 2-1, 2-all, and 3-2 in the very final stages of the game. Absolutely sensational game, guys. But Sydney, another team that aren't getting the crowds.
I think Sydney supporters are a lot more fickle than most other. Hopefully...
They were a dour team last year.
Hopefully that game will bring some more people in the next time it goes around. But, yeah, Sydney needs to win all its home games if they want to get decent crowds.
Gold Coast don't have a lot of travelling fans, to be fair, as well.
Nicky Carr looked back to his best form has been absolutely sensational, guys. Is it really paying off for him that the attention's off him with Harry Kewell back, Brett Emerton at Sydney?
I definitely think the arrival of those guys helped, especially Emerton being in the squad to help, some of the star profile.
Maybe help do all the hard work that maybe isn't Nicky's strength.
And so Sydney have done had two fantastic games in a row, guys, and really starting to hit some really good form. Just what kind of impact can they make this season?
I think top four is very possible. If Adelaide continues to struggle, Melbourne Victory haven't really hit their straps yet, there's opportunities there.
Well, they do have some very good players and some very good young players as well, especially Antonis and Petrados I like a lot, so... If they can, keep this form going, I don't see why they can't make the finals and have a serious crack at the title.
And just before we get into the Socceroos, guys, which I want to speak to very briefly, we'll just get some very quick predictions off you about next week's A-League. Adelaide United at home to Gold Coast.
Must-win game for Adelaide. 2-1 for me.
I think Blyberg has done very well with his tactics so far, so I think they'll go out there and probably get a 1-0 win.
Okay, I'll take a draw there. Perth Glory at home to Sydney.
Oh, fantastic game. I think Perth will win this.
I'm predicting a draw. Going to Perth is always difficult, but they're not in a good enough form to win the game.
I'll go Sydney. I think they've got the tails up, and Perth are on the down. Melbourne Heart at home, Newcastle Jet, Panic Stations.
Well, if they don't win this, it's Panic Stations, but... Yeah, Newcastle are playing well. It's a really tough game. I reckon it'll be another frustrating draw for the Hunt.
I think Newcastle they're good. They are in good form, and I think that they're going to keep going with this.
I'll take Newcastle as well. And Central Coast Mariners at home to an in-form Melbourne Victory.
This makes me very nervous, because whenever Archie Thompson plays against us, he plays well. And considering his performance last week, it's going to be another difficult game for Patrick Vonsleik and Wilkinson in defence, but I am praying that we will win.
I think it'll be a draw.
Okay, and the unbeatable Brisbane Roar against the the Wellington Phoenix, guys. I even have to ask?
No, still unbeatable this week.
Definitely Roar. You can't pick Wellington outside of New Zealand, and even then that's shaky now.
Okay, and we've got two Socceroos games coming up. We have Oman and Thailand, where we are expected to wrap up qualification for the next round of qualifiers. Mm. Guys, what are the key points for these games?
Well, I think we can wrap it up on the Friday night against Oman. Look, conditions are always tough when you travel to the Middle East, but the side's been playing really well recently. Josh Kennedy's been sensational. The defence is solid. Yeah, look, I've got a lot of hope for this one.
Nick Amos, would anything less than two wins be seen as a failure?
Definitely the way that they're playing, yes. As long as they don't get complacent going into the games, they should win them. So I don't see why anything else would happen, to be honest.
Thailand, very strong in Australia. A home game for them. Do you think they could be a danger team?
They've been the surprise packet. Like, I think if we win the Oman game, there's a real risk we could be a bit complacent for the Thailand game.
Harry Kuehl and Brett Emmett back. Will they take the starting lineup, or will they have to settle for spots on the bench?
Emmett, yes. Kuehl, no. Off the bench for Harry, I reckon.
Yeah, I think similar stuff. Emerton's obviously a very fit player, so he probably is capable of just playing in that game. But I think Harry Kuehl will probably be more likely used as an impact, just because
super sub.
Because Kennedy is just the informed striker.
Wilkshire very effective in recent games in the midfield. You think pushing back to right back, it's Reece Williams that misses out?
I like Reece Williams.
I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting. We'll see how it goes.
In the back line, guys, are we going to see Spranovic or Ogunovsky?
They've been rotating them through. I reckon we might get one of each over the weekend.
Nick Amos, will Nichols get a run?
I'm not sure. I think he probably will appear in the last 20 of the first game, and if we win that, he probably will start against Thailand. But
Nick Cumpston, Alex Brosk, any game time?
Off the bench if we need a goal.
Off the bench if we need a goal.
Yep.
Okay, and is there any last points that you guys want to bring up?
Oh, look, just a shout out to Canberra United, continuing their early dominance in the W League this season with another win on the weekend against arch rival Sydney. Good stuff.
Nick Amos?
No, not really, actually.
Fair enough. Okay, well, that's it from this week's Near Post Radio Show. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back next week. And keep following through with Pete Funnel with his always interesting look at local football news. And until then, if you're going to the Near Post,
Get there first.
The Near Post. Get there first. Don't get there second. Don't get there third. The Near Post. Get there first. If it's for football news. Get there first, the Near Post. Get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first, if it's for football news. Get there first, the Near Post. Get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The Near Post, get there first, if it's for football.